Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is Easter Wednesday. Easter Wednesday. 8 days, well, there's really 50 days of celebration, but for the first 8 days, it's Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. Today is Easter Wednesday. This is a time to rejoice and to celebrate. Let's take a look at the first reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. You have an account here of what it was like for them in the days after the resurrection. It was an incredible time. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. Now when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter, now look at this change. He's preaching, and now look what happens here. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Logical, the alms that he asked for. And Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Brothers and sisters, this man was crippled from birth. Can you imagine what that would be like? And look who was the channel that God used. Look at the disciple, Peter, the one who so recently denied him. Now he's out preaching the gospel. Now he's healing people in Christ, of course. And then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood and walked around and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. Can you imagine? What a joyful moment. Brothers and sisters, the same power and the same grace is with us. It's all up to God and His will, but you bring everything to Him and ask Him for help. And entrust, please trust that what He does will be the very best thing, even if it isn't dramatically evident like right here. Doesn't mean that God hasn't heard your prayer, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to answer it in a particular way. Trust Him and keep asking. He leaped up. He stood, he walked around, he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit, it's already used to sit, begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him, at what had happened to him. Don't we wonder how he put that grace to work? Don't we wonder how he served the Lord? We'll have to ask him when we get to heaven, won't we? What did he do? How did he respond with gratitude? Did he? Don't forget to thank God for every blessing you receive. Psalm 105, "Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord." Take Psalm 105 today. Pray it. Pray it out loud. "Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord." And now, I want to take a look at Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And I could do a whole week's program on this, a set of programs on this particular passage. I would love to. But all I have is a few moments. So listen carefully, because I want you to see how you can apply this to your own life. Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. "That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred." Now, two of Jesus' disciples are going to a village 7 miles. They're leaving Jerusalem. Why? He's dead. He's gone. "And it happened that while they were conversing and debating about all these things, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Why? Well, he might look like Jesus, but it couldn't be Jesus. We saw Jesus crucified. How often do we not open ourselves to a glance with faith and see what God has for us? He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" I love that. Jesus just kind of joins them and says, "What are you talking about?" And they stopped, looking downcast. And one of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" He's drawing them out. He's ministering to them. They don't know that yet. And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel." We were hoping. Notice that? He's dead. So that hope is gone, right? No. "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." Wouldn't you like to have been part of that walk, part of that Bible study? "As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther." So he doesn't want to impose himself. He spends some time with them. He asks them some things. They tell him all that's happened, and now he looks as though he's leaving them. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." They like what he has to say. They're interested. They want more time with him. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, right there, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened. Suddenly, through the Eucharist, and note this carefully, it was through the Eucharist that they recognized this stranger that they had been walking with. The faith came from Jesus to them. Many times our faith is shaken by circumstances. When that happens, go to Jesus and say, "Lord, I remember one point in my life saying, 'I want to want.'" I want to believe. I was going through a very challenging time, and I was very weary, and I was leery, and I didn't know what I believed. He comes when you call him. He helps you in ways that you do not expect. So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, he said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, and with that their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. The scales fall. And then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once. They didn't say, "Well, we're tired. Well, maybe we'll go back someday and tell them what we experienced." No, they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised. He's appeared to Simon." And then the two, now it was their turn, then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture because you watch it develop. Oh, brothers and sisters, how much he loves us. How much he loves us. But he wants us to step out in faith. He wants us to believe. Carol Hauslander has a remarkable comment on this whole area. And I think it's worth hearing these few sentences. Such are the daily, unobserved, unguessed miracles of grace. Contrition, conversion, hope, forgiveness, love, taking place secretly in the human soul. Real miracles, which could not possibly happen were not the risen Christ among us. Miracles which still tell about the kingdom of heaven that is still not of this earth, but within us. We must look for Christ in one another. It is not enough for us to accept his gift of himself to us in our own lives. That could more than satisfy our capacity for love. But it is not enough to satisfy his. Think of how he loved them on this road to Emmaus. Think how he loved Mary Magdalene. But Carol Hauslander says, that could more than satisfy our capacity for love, but is not enough to satisfy his. Just as he wants us through his love of his Father in us to give his redeeming love to the whole world, so does he want us to accept it ourselves from everyone in the world, from those of our own household and those far away who in him are one with us. She's talking about unity of the body. If we say we're followers of Christ, if we say we're true disciples, they will know us by our love. They will know us by our love. And love isn't just nice feelings. Love involves decisions. Feelings come later, but it involves decisions. If this person is a disciple of Christ, even though their personality irks me, I will love them. Love them means I will serve them, I will do them good. They might not be my closest friend, but I will always relate to them out of mercy and kindness and love. We can do that by the power of God's grace. We can. And those disciples who were fleeing, who were on the way to Emmaus, they were getting out of town. They were fleeing. They were downcast. They met Jesus. They experienced the love of Jesus. They experienced him sharing the Eucharist with them. It changed their hearts. It changed their lives. They turned around. They came back to the city. Brothers and sisters, what about us? What about us? How easy it is when we're disillusioned or frightened or depressed, how easy it is to walk away. If you turn around and you start back on the road, back to unity with others, you will encounter the living God. May God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.